Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Artist First World Radio Network, home of the best new music you've never heard and home of the best new talk shows you need to hear. Please don't forget to visit our archives page at www.artistfirst.com, where you can hear all our past shows for free and on demand. You are tuning in to Chit Chat Cafe Live After Dark. This show airs at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and airs every Thursday. For more information about this show and listen to past shows for free, please visit artistfirst.com/chitchat.htm. And don't forget to follow Artist First on Twitter. You can find us under the Twitter handle @artist_first. And now here are your hosts of Chit Chat Cafe Live After Dark, Lisa and Nancy.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Chit Chat Cafe Live After Dark. We're airing live from Artist First World Radio. We have a full house tonight. We have a lot of cool guests on the show. We have Dr. Jen Hartstein, who is a psychiatrist, as well as Dr. Ish Major, who is also a psychiatrist. And we were going to have a Men's Tell All segment. We have David Newham, who's a good friend of our show. He's been on several times. And Mr. Anthony Schiavo. So go grab your martini, slip into something really comfortable, put your best high heels on, and stay around for the next hour and chat with us. Hi, Nancy.
We're not alone tonight. Hi, Lisa. We're having so much fun tonight.
Oh, we got a full house tonight.
Oh, it's just great. We have lots to talk about. Let's make some introductions.
Okay. Would you like to do the honors for our hot topics?
Well, yes. First, we have Dr. Jen Hartstein joining us. She is a psychiatrist from New York City, and she can also be seen on the CBS Morning Show and the NBC Today Show. And also we have our regular fabulous Dr. Ish Major, who's also a psychiatrist and author of Little White Wives. Welcome to our show, Dr. Hartstein and Dr. Major.
How you doing?
Oh. Tonight, it's the topic for Hot Topics is relationship and things that are happening in the news, especially we would like to touch on Christie Brinkley and her ex-husband, Peter Cook. Could you share some insights?
Which part of the bad news do we want to talk about first? They're just...
Well, the good news is she still looks great. I just saw her in Allure magazine.
It's true.
8 years old, she looks fabulous.
She absolutely looks fabulous and I think has, you know, a body that many women would aspire to have and looks fabulous and is going to be on Broadway in Chicago, and I think that's all amazing. But I think kind of taking her relationship with her husband out of the media would be fabulous, especially for her children, who are really going to be the victims in all of this, more so than they would if it wasn't being played out on TV and in the newspapers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
pretty horrible stuff going on between them.
And they've got to air out their dirty laundry and, you know, in public. It's a disgrace. It's almost like they want to get attention.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think he for sure does, and I think he becomes, in some ways, in my opinion, you know, like a non-entity if he's not attached to her in some way. So there seems to almost be a way that he has to go on the attack and so that he becomes relevant again. And that's, I think, part of his personality disorder profile. And I think, unfortunately, you can only stay quiet for so long. And if she were able to stay quiet longer, it would only serve her better. But I think her fighting back makes it more of a challenge. And it's unfortunate that she has to and had to. But it's just kind of perpetuating the same process over and over and over and over and over again.
Hmm. Dr. Ish,
what do you think?
Yes.
Yeah. Again, I agree with Dr. Jen. It's unfortunate that is being played out, you know, over the airwaves and, you know, and in the articles and, you know, the backing and forth. And again, you know, in any type of situation where you have a divorce, you know, obviously you want to focus on the most important part, and that's making sure the kids, you know, come through it as smoothly as possible. And unfortunately, the way they're going about it, that's just not happening right now.
Absolutely. The kids are really going to be, I mean, and they're old enough to really understand what's going on, you know, and we say this all the time, that just because you divorce your partner doesn't mean you divorce your family. And unfortunately, you have to co-parent, and they cannot figure out how to effectively co-parent because they can't get themselves out of their own way to focus on what's really the important element. And those kids are going to struggle as a result of that, unfortunately. They're going to struggle enough without the airing of the dirty laundry, and add that in there, it's just going to make it that much worse.
And especially when we're hearing things like the children are making decisions not to see one parent or the other, and it just breaks my heart.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's really, it's such a tragic situation. And you know, where the kids go from here will be very difficult to tell, but they're going to follow the lead of the parent with whom they're siding, and that's really going to make it much more difficult for them down the road, I think.
And they make themselves look like asses. I mean, it's embarrassing. Really, it's embarrassing. Like, go on with your life, for God's sake. You have money, you have looks, you have your health. You know what I mean? Go your separate ways, start over.
Mm-hmm.
I don't
well,
get
you know,
it.
And they're both, you know, they're really concerned with trying to be right now as opposed to trying to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
He, to his credit, he actually said, listen, I am a narcissist. That's just kind of who I am. And I really wish I could focus more on the kids right now, but I'm struggling with that. So
there's
a glimmer of insight there on his part.
Well, yes, except in the interview he did with Savannah Guthrie, although he did say, yes, I'm a narcissist, he actually said, but being a narcissist allows him to focus more intensely on one thing, which makes him be a better parent.
Right.
So I don't know that, so no offense to Peter Cook, but I don't know that he actually knows what a narcissist then really is.
Yeah, that part didn't make much
sense. Yeah, all we need now is the music playing in the background, Where Is the Love?
totally. Yeah, it's a shame. I mean, I think, look, they're both in the interest of themselves, you know, in a way, in order to be in the public eye, you know, you have to have a little bit of being a narcissist in order to succeed and put yourself first. And the unfortunate fallout from that is what it does to kids who are raised in families where the parents put themselves first. Married or divorced, it doesn't really matter. It's just really problematic.
Exactly. Yep, absolutely.
And they will suffer.
Amazing. You know, speaking of other relationships, we are also wondering about the relationship with Lindsay Lohan and her parents. Do we have any news on, is she speaking to both parents or just one?
They've been amazingly quiet, haven't they?
They have been.
They have. Her probation officially ended today, and I hadn't heard about any parties, so I don't know. But I'm not sure about the parent angle there.
Dina's not taking her out to party in celebration? Sorry.
Yeah, that's what you would expect.
I mean, the last we heard from Michael Lohan was he was kind of preaching to her to, you know, find her, like, you know, he's kind of found his own higher power yet again, and, you know, to kind of reach for that for herself was, I think, the last we've heard from him. But they have been eerily quiet. Maybe that's a really good thing, but it's been surprisingly, they've been non-vocal.
Yeah, they have.
So, one last is... Do either of you have anyone else with relationship problems that are making headlines? Just trying to think.
Well, just Chris Humphries refusing to agree to Kim Kardashian's divorce is the other news, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Does that surprise you?
No. Unfortunately, it doesn't. I think that he's aware that he's gotten pulled through the mud, and I think that he feels duped, and potentially rightfully so, and probably is figuring out how he can kind of get the best for himself in that. You know, I think everybody is looking out for themselves in that situation, so he's going to look out for what's going to get him the most, I think. It also keeps him relevant. I mean, he's not on a very good basketball team at the moment, considering that they're in my area.
He's not in very good standing. And again, it's one of those deals. Like you said, I think he is aware that he kind of got a little mud slung on him here. And, you know, and again, a lot of it's just trying to kind of get the power back in that dynamic. And I think that's a lot of the posturing is what we're seeing from the guys is what's going on. They're trying to regain some sense of control and command over that situation where they feel like they lost it.
Absolutely. I don't know. I think everybody should take a little bit of a chapter out of the Heidi Klum Seal book where he was talking. She told him to be quiet. He's now been quiet. She's not talking about their relationship. It's sad that they're divorcing, but, like, nobody's really, we're not talking about it at all because they're not talking about it at all.
Yeah.
Exactly. However, watching TMZ before going live an hour ago on Chit Chat Cafe Live, they were showing some interesting pictures of Heidi Klum, and I didn't catch the male's name. He's from Germany.
Mm-hmm.
He had his hand on her leg, and he's feeding her something with a spoon.
Oh, great. That, just because they're not talking about it doesn't mean someone else isn't going to go find something for us to all talk about, right? But it does beg the question, what actually happened behind closed doors?
It sure does.
I have the best one. J-Lo got married again.
Did she really?
J-Lo got married again.
That's what they said, right, in Mexico?
She was just divorced. I mean, she just left Mark Anthony not even a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
She's crazy. She's not. She's gorgeous.
The third marriage. And he's 23.
Wow.
Oh, he's 23?
He's 23. If she got married to the backup dancer, he's 23.
And she is, what, 42 or 43?
Something like that.
Wow.
Maybe she wanted a Manny. Sorry. I don't know. That is the rumor, I think, right, that they got married in Mexico?
Why does she keep getting married? Why? This is her fourth or fifth marriage.
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting question.
Well, let's just hope that everyone can get along in that situation, especially for the children.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
we're back to that.
I would have hoped she would have learned a little something from Britney's playbook and the whole K-Fed fiasco, not to hook up with a backup dancer, though.
You would have thought, but I guess she missed the memo on that one.
Wow. And that it makes you wonder, then, what do the children call all these new people? Everyone's different, I guess.
Yeah, it really does.
Mm-hmm. And the attachment issues that could arise for these, you know, kids when there's this rotating door of people, I think that's the other part that's an interesting question to follow.
Oh, well, absolutely, absolutely. It's like, right. It's like, you know, it's like broken, you know, musical chairs. They just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's all very interesting. We'll see what plays out. And hot topics are always fun. Dr. Jen Hartstein and Dr. Ish, would you please join us again for another fun night of hot topics?
That'd be great. Thanks.
Absolutely. No problem.
And Chit-Chat Cafe Live listeners, we're very excited. We're going to have longer talk with Dr. Jen Hartstein coming up in April.
That'll be great.
So thank you very much. And until then, we're going to continue promoting you whenever we see you on the Today Show and the Morning Show and everything else that you're doing.
Well,
thank
great.
You.
Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Talk to you
Bye.
Soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, now we can start the mental wall.
Oh, well, and Lisa, tell everyone, first of all, you heard word from Anthony Schiavo.
He's in the middle. He's the president of Legacy Aviation. He's working on a crisis right now. So he'll be joining us later, or maybe not at all, I'm not sure. But Dr. Ish and David Newham will surely step in with their insightful answers to our women's most wanted to know questions. Right, guys? You there?
Or we'll misguide you with really bad advice.
Okay. And as we go along tonight, if either one of you think of a different question or something that comes to your mind, please, by all means, jump right in.
Okay.
Sure.
So, first of all, this mental all has been requested over and over again by our Chit-Chat Cafe Live listeners, and we're just thrilled. Lisa, I think you have the first question.
Okay, here we go. Where are you most likely to meet women? Like in a bar, online, through friends? What do you think is the best way, and which way do you guys do it?
Huh. You know,
Doc, you want to go first?
Let me jump in here. You know, I tend to meet women. You know, okay, the women who have actually ended up dating, who have become, you know, girlfriend material, I kind of tend to meet them in some of the more boring places, like while I'm shopping for groceries or something. You know, I think it's
that's good though. Sometimes that's good. It's like you see each other in a natural situation.
Right. Absolutely. It's kind of on my day-to-day kind of routines, whether I'm, you know, picking up a cup of coffee or you're flipping through a magazine and Barnes & Noble or something. That's kind of when the girlfriend stuff has happened. That seems to be where I meet most of the girls I've actually dated long-term. David, what do you say?
I'd agree with you. Me personally, I've kind of specialized, I guess you might say. I've usually met them and say, cafe, sometimes a bar, a lot of times in a gym. Mm-hmm. Depends on some kind of physical activity. One time, the last ex I had, I met her at work, as an example, or a dance club.
Okay.
So basically, I'm more of the, I can meet them anywhere. That's how I've done things.
Yeah, I think that's the take home. It just kind of happens where it happens. It's there's no set routine for it, or no particular place where you can go where you're guaranteed to meet somebody that's going to lead to something. I think it just happens wherever you are, you know.
Well, I think that's very interesting, and I know that all of our female listeners were excited to hear those answers. Now, my question is from one of our listeners. Sharon would like to know if you are turned off by women who do not paint their nails.
No, I love that, actually.
You love it if women don't?
Yeah, I really like seeing a woman's natural features. I mean, when you see Hollywood celebrities or you see models up on the stage, you know for a fact that they've got at least 10 pounds of makeup on. You know that when you see it, because when you see the before and after shots, it's such a huge difference. I'd rather see a woman in her most natural. That way I know what to expect when she decides to, you know, make herself look beautiful or whatnot. Then I know what to expect.
Yeah,
and so you like a girl with no makeup on mostly and no fingernails painted?
Yeah, because then when she does put on the makeup, that makes it extra special. That becomes a more of a, holy cow, I didn't know you look like that.
Wow, interesting.
You know, I would agree. I would say less is definitely more, you know. When it comes to the toenails or the fingernails being painted, I mean, the clean look, it's a good look.
Oh, come on, you have to have painted toenails. You cannot wear open-toe shoes without painted toenails. It looks bad.
I've seen girls pull it off. It's not a bad look, you know. And I would agree. The less is the more, and that way you kind of when you do get all dolled up, then it's like, whoa, it's just like extra, you know.
Well, you know what's very interesting? I'm a school teacher, and one time I heard that from a sixth grade student. Why is it that women have to look the same every day? Change it up when you go out. I thought, oh my goodness, interesting.
Okay, next question. We have a question from a girl named Debbie, and she's from Colorado. Are you guys boob, butt, or leg men?
Yeah,
I'm an ass man.
What'd you say?
I'm an ass man.
Oh, yeah? You like ass, big ass?
Yeah, well, not big ass. It's just, I mean, the way I have my personal philosophy has always been, you know, boobs are for babies, ass are for men. Because, you know, if you think about it,
I like that philosophy.
Seriously, the ones who get the most time with a lady's bosom is usually the baby, 9 months. You know, you carry the kid, and then afterwards for a year, 2 years, 3 years, and if you look at the level of intimacy a guy has with his wife or his girlfriend or whatnot, it'll probably be about 30 years before he gets the same amount of hours that a baby gets typically in 3 years sucking on the mom's teeth. So
really
obviously the more,
didn't you?
Yes, I mean that's one of the first things I noticed is that the butt is a great. It's one of the most beautiful views in my personal opinion for looking at a woman. And the other thing is she doesn't see that I'm looking at her, so I don't come off as a creeper. That's the best part about it.
Good. Yeah, creepy's not good.
Yes.
Well, Dr. Ish, what's your answer to that?
You know, I not so much boobs. If anything, more so the backside. But you know, I'm actually a face guy. You know, that's the thing that really gets me. If she's got a really, really not necessarily just overly gorgeous or anything like that, but just an interesting kind of face. That's what really draws me in for some reason.
Very
sometimes
interesting.
Have a nice body, but a butter face. Is that okay?
negative. We're shooting for the whole package. We just like certain areas enhanced, okay?
Yes.
All right, you guys. Say you've been dating for a month. When you notice your gal always has to be right, what do you say about that to her?
That's tricky. That's the art of diplomacy right there.
That is.
Because, at least for me, you know, for us guys, we're hormonally driven. There's, so, you know, obviously there's that physical need we want to, and then when that gets cut off, then we begin to realize that, oh, shoot, we got to negotiate here. We got to compromise. We actually have to communicate on her level. We have to actually go up to her level. So sometimes we tend to agree more than we should to our woman, and that's a lot of times that's because it's hormonally driven. And then if there are some guys like what I did with my last relationship where I'll think, you know what, I got to be right too, and then that will create conflicts, and then there's obviously going to be a disconnect with the communication. Ideally, you would want to have people who agree to disagree, if you can have that. That's my personal opinion on it.
Right, yeah, I agree. It's tough. You know, I was actually in this situation personally. I was dating another doctor, and, you know, you talk about Christie Brinkley and Peter Cook. I mean, this girl was narcissistic like you wouldn't believe, absolutely always had to be right, and you know, after a while, it really just... It, you know, you can have that honest conversation. You know, some days I would say, wow, you know, I brought it to her attention. You know, it seems like you need to win every argument and be, you know, be right all the time. And it was one of those things that just kind of went right over her head, and there was no recognition of it. And so it's tough. It just starts to wear on you after a while. But like David said, you realize there needs to be some type of negotiation in order for the things to continue, but after a while, it really just starts to wear on you, because you know we're guys, we're goal driven, and you know, and at some point in that relationship, we actually like to feel like we're right too, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, we have another listener that wrote in. This is from Dorothy. And she is from Vermont. She wants to know, how can a girl tell if a guy is truly interested in her? Like, what are the telltale signs?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? You know what I say? The telltale signs are, you know, you're not paying attention to what he says, but you're looking at what he does. We're guys. We like action. That's why we like action movies, because things are going on, okay? And for a guy who's really into you, he's going to actually do the things he's telling you he's going to do. If he says, listen, hon, I'm going to call you at 10 o'clock tonight, guess what time he's going to call? 10 o'clock. If he says, I'm going to be there at 8 o'clock to pick you up for dinner, he's going to be there at 7:55 because he's into you. He wants you to know that he's responsible, he's dependable, he's accountable. He wants you to know that you're the guy he's the guy you can rely on. And so he wants to show you these things in action. That's why guys down the road, you know, 6 months, a year, 2 years into the relationship, you know, a woman asks the question, why are you here? Do you love me? And guys, we go ballistic because we can't understand where this question is coming from, because we are showing you how much we love you with what we're doing, even though we may not be saying it. So that's what I tell the ladies. Look at what he does.
Yeah, I completely agree with Dr. The other thing I would say is, if he's actually listening to you, then you know he's into you.
Oh, he's really into you now.
When he actually hears what you said, he actually can comprehend what you just said, and you ask him a question, and he answers exactly what you told him, then you know he's into you. Because most guys, like for me, for example, if I'm not really into a woman, I kind of go into the airhead mode where it goes, no, Dave, da, 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 and I'm just going, blah, 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 blah. I wonder what time it is, blah, blah, blah. I wonder how the Eagles are doing, blah, 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 blah. So how'd you like tonight, Dave? What? Yeah, I'll take the bill. No problem.
I love that. That is a huge thing, because guys, you know, we really gotta like you in order for us to pay attention to the actual words you're saying. That's a big deal. That is, yeah. I like that.
I like that too. Well, we have an email from a man named Alex. He wants to know, because he wants his point of view heard as a man. He says he's tired of the old proverb, you can't buy happiness, and he wants you guys to agree with him, wondering about some dates who break your bank.
Well, listen, you can't buy happiness, but you can lease it for a little while.
I like that.
As long as your debit card and your account can stand it, you can buy a little happy. You know, and it's one of those things. You know, it's a double-edged sword for guys, okay? Because every guy wants to be successful and, you know, and have those things and all those trappings that come along with it. Because, you know, and then the upshot is we know that makes us more attractive to women, right? As it should. Women should want to be with guys who've got things going on. But then on the back end of that, yeah, as a guy, you're like, you know, is she into me for me, or is she into me for, you know, for the other stuff? And so it's kind of it's a double-edged sword for us. So the whole buying the happiness, it's I think it's one of those things guys struggle with, but we don't really talk about it a lot, I think. What do you say, David?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, it reminds me of an old conversation I had with a friend where we talked about cars. I mean, let's be honest. Why do guys really want to get that Lamborghini or Ferrari? Mm-hmm. It's not because they want to get a Lamborghini or Ferrari. It's because it's a chick magnet.
Absolutely.
That's
absolutely
what it is. And once a woman sits in there, we gotcha. That's gotcha. The idea behind it. A guy will have sex in a box. You know, he'll have sex in a cardboard box, but a woman wouldn't. So that's why the guy gets the house. That's the whole idea behind it. So guys who understand, and I agree with Dr. Ish here, you know, we want to be able to show that we got our goals, that we got our life together, that we're successful and whatnot. But the fact of the matter is, pretty much 90% of what you see a guy in possession of, it's for one thing only. It's
to get laid.
It's money.
That's a big part of it. That really is. That's just, you know, I remember there was a comedian one time who joked. He said if the world consisted of all guys, we would all wear boxers and raggedy T-shirts to everywhere we went. To work, to the gym, to do everything, the whole deal, because there's nobody to impress. We're not trying to attract anybody now, you know?
Yeah.
Why? Okay, here's another question from a listener. This is Jenny. She's from Texas. Why do guys still try to find girls in chat rooms and on Facebook and stuff and sweet talk them while they have girlfriends? Or if they're living with a girlfriend, why do they still? I see that all the time. There's tons of married men on Facebook trying to pick up women and flirting. And why do you think that happens? Are they just bored? Are they joking around? Or does their relationship not mean anything to them? What do you think the problem? Or is it an ego thing? What do you think it is?
That's a tough one. It depends on the, you know, I think that's kind of really guy or couple specific. It depends on what's going on in that relationship. Now, you know, at some point, we're guys, and guys, we always from time to time want to test the waters just to see if we've still got it. We don't necessarily intend to cheat or do anything, you know, that drastic. But it's nice to know, you know, that we could still get out there and do it if we could. It's kind of like the whole weekend warrior phenomenon.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of past your prime where if you played ball in school, but on the weekends you want to get out there and see if you still can hang and still got it. And so it's kind of like that. So hopefully that's the scenario with her and not that he's, you know, moving on or looking to move on.
I'll put it this way. If a woman is confident in herself and her man, one of my exes, she told me, because she knew that I tended to have a habit of that, which the ground rule that she set for me was look but don't touch.
Sure.
That's what she put it. She said, look, but don't touch. I know you're a man. I know you've got the wandering eye. I see all guys do it. Look, but don't touch. And remember, I'm the special one. So if you're a woman and you're confident about yourself, you're confident about your man, and you want to make sure, because, you know, we're all humans. We all have that attraction. We can't really fight it. We know it's there. To say that we're going to deny it, that's like denying that water is wet, for example. So just lay a ground rule.
That's great.
How
that's
you
great.
Do
and
it.
You said she's an ex. You let her get away. She sounds fabulous. because that takes a very confident woman to be able to say that. That's a huge deal.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
I won't be saying that.
Okay, guys. Jenny from Florida emailed and would like to know, what about the women that need you to call them or text them 10 times a day? Does that make you mad, or how do you feel about that?
That's a bit much.
Did you say 10 times?
That's what it says, 10 times a day.
Go ahead, David. I'm going to let you jump in there on that one.
Yeah, I would say that's someone who's got some security issues because 10 times a day is a lot. That's almost obsessive there. That's obsessive compulsive disorder. I'm not a shrink, so I can't really identify it.
That's text heavy. I would agree.
Yeah.
So what's a better number for you gentlemen? Would it be 4? That wouldn't bother you? Or 3?
Well, see, you got to understand, we're guys. We like texts that mean something. We're meeting somewhere. Tell us the place. Tell us the time. We're about to do something. We like texts that have instructions or some other type of meaning. the stuff that's, just to say hi, thinking about you, miss you. That's cute, but we don't need all of those every day, And so, I do a whole thing about texts. There are those little texts you can send in the morning wishing you a good day. That's totally fine. And we'll hit you right back on that one. Check in during the middle of the day, that's fine. And if I haven't talked to you all day, then, something later on. But 10, that is, like I said, that's text heavy. And now it's starting to feel like work because I can't ignore the text. I've got to stop what I'm doing. I've got to return it. But now it's getting to feel like work, especially if there's nothing that we're doing. Again, we're guys. We like action. There needs to be something going on. Don't text me just to say, miss you. I miss you too, and I'll tell you that later when we talk. I don't need you to text me about that right now.
Yeah, the other thing is we tend to value things less if we have too much of it.
Mm-hmm.
So less, like the doc said earlier, less is more. Once or twice a day, and we're just, oh, that's so sweet of her.
Right.
But 10 times, you get to the point of, okay, I know you love me and all, but I got this work to do here.
Right, I got this thing I got to do. Yeah,
it's called work.
Okay.
So, so I would tell the ladies, at bookend it, one in the morning and one later on in the evening for sure. And then if there's something going on during the day that you just got to share or that kind of thing, then go ahead and send that one out also.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you think about a woman that gives you an ultimatum? You think that's a good thing to do or no? Like if you've been dating for a couple of years and you want to get married and hemming and hawing, and would you give him an ultimatum or would you just leave the relationship, or if he loved you, he'd marry you? What's the deal with that?
Ultimatums in a relationship are a bad idea. You're taking a partner, not a hostage, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's one of those deals. When you back a guy into a corner, he's going to react like any animal that's backed into a corner, and that's going to be unpredictable. And he's going to do things and say things that you don't know where it's coming from, and that's because you forced him into a very high-pressure ultimatum. So it's a bad idea. It's one of those things, a relationship is about choice. You want him to choose to do those things that are making you happy, to choose to be with you or choose to be exclusive. You don't want to have to twist his arm and drag him along kicking and screaming, because at some point, you're not going to be able to control him 100% of the time. And so it just doesn't work. It doesn't end well at all.
Yeah, the other thing is, you're his girlfriend or a significant other. You're not his mother.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other thing.
So I guess that's a real makes you limp, huh? Somebody acting like your mother.
Yeah. Break out the old Viagra there, because it's that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, funny. Okay, Dr. Ish, this is one for you.
Okay.
How can you get over a man you are really in love with? I'm heartbroken, says Susan.
Oh, well, that's a tough one. And the answer there is it's cliche, but it's true, and that's just time. You have to. Hopefully, she was able to get some closure as far as why the relationship ended and understanding there was. There's nothing you can do to control that person and make them stay in a relationship with you, no matter how much, you think it's right and it should be and it feels right. And, you got to get that closure there and understand there's nothing wrong with her. It's nothing, it's just, it was not a good fit, He's fine. She's fine. The two of them together wasn't a good fit, or so he thought, for whatever reason. And then, you just got to put some distance in between it, and that just comes with time. And every day just gets a little bit easier and a little bit easier. But what you've got to be able to do is distract yourself in the meantime, so that you're not thinking about it and obsessing about it every single day, every single minute. And so, now's the time she's got to wrap herself and her girlfriends and her family and her hobbies and her other things that she's been meaning to do and kind of putting off. start to do all those things, because now you want as many distractions in your day as possible as you put that distance and that separation between you and that last relationship.
Yeah, basically, I've gone through a few breakups myself, and take it a day at a time. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you can get through your one day without thinking about them, that's great. If you can get through a week, you're making progress. If you get through a month without thinking about them, that's even better. You get through 6 months, you're almost on the road to recovery. You get through a year, you're perfect. And if that doesn't work, go get your lady friends, go to a male strip club.
No, that's not sexy. That's not sexy. That's trashy. I'd rather see a guy in a suit. I saw a quote that a guy in a suit is equivalent to lingerie for men. A guy in a well-tailored suit is really sexy.
What about a guy in a T-shirt with his credit score on it?
Yeah, that too. Because guess what? That would be a real turn off a guy with bad credit or a lot of debt. Ugh. Loser.
All right, Lisa, do you have the next question?
Yeah, of course. Let's see. What do you think of a high-maintenance woman? Is that a turn-off, or do you kind of like that? You know, girl's got to be taken to nice restaurants, girl that takes long to get ready, girl that's, you know, a little prissy. Or, like, do you like girly girls, or do you like more, you know, earthy, laid-back kind of girls?
Yeah. Doc, you wanted to...
No, go ahead, man. Go ahead. Go ahead. Jump in.
Yeah, for me personally, I've always had sort of a mix. So most of the women I've been out with that I've been attracted to have usually been earthy girls that are usually, they grew up kind of tomboys, but they also have a feminine side that they express. So that's always been my thing. I mean, it depends per guy, what the guy really likes. Plus, it depends on how that guy grew up with the female role models around him. So if he had, you know, more of the high-maintenance type women around him, he's going to be more attracted to those types, whereas what I grew up with was more of an earthy, tomboyish type mother, and that's what I tend to attract.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I'll be honest, for me personally, I am a sucker for the girly girls. I really am. It just, you know, it's the longer she makes me wait for her to get ready, the more I'm into it. I don't know what it is. It's like a kid. I'm like a kid at Christmas, you know. I don't know what it is about it.
That's me. Taking forever to get ready.
You know, I really like the women who just really fully embrace the, you know, their feminine side, you know, the femininity and that, you know, that whole thing. Because it's one of those things as a guy, just, you know, I grew up with five sisters, and so I had a little insight to it, but still, I'm a guy, and so it's just, I just don't get it. Like hairstyles, okay? I know what hairstyles I like and what looks good, but how she got it to that point, I'm like, wow. Like, she must have Copperfield back there and doing that. It's like magic, you know? And so I really appreciate the girls who get into all of that.
Well, we thank you for noticing. All right, guys. One of our listeners would like to know, how do you feel if you have a fun hobby? Well, look at you, David Nam, with all your bicycle adventures. But your gal just can't get into it. Is that a turnoff, or are you accepting that she maybe tried but can't get into it?
Oh, I'm accepting. I mean, I can't expect everyone to have the same interests I have. We're all unique people. We all have different passions. We all have different interests. But part of a relationship is a compromise. So I may be, for example, I like to cook. I like different kinds of cuisines, and my girlfriend doesn't like to cook. You know, that's not going to be a turnoff. That means I get to cook for her, and she gets to enjoy my food, and then we have a nice, you know, we have a nice equilibrium there. You can't always expect everyone to have the same passions or the same interests, but I think more important in a relationship is more the same core values, what makes you, what drives both of you. That's more important, in my opinion. And
yeah,
plus,
I agree with you.
You know, if you got different interests, then at the very least, the partner should at least attempt to try it just to see what it's like. Because you never know. You might actually end up liking it, and the other person appreciates that you made the effort.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it's totally fine for her not to be able to, you know, not to be into it or be able to get into it, because again, you know, it's there's something to be said for when you're bringing something to the table, I'm bringing something to the table, and now we can kind of learn a little bit from each other, you know, and that's, there's nothing wrong with that. Again, you want them to have, take some interest, try it once, or, you know, or read up about it, or, you know, whatever the case may be, so they know that you're interested, you know, they interested in you enough to know about what you're doing and kind of, you know, and go that route. But they definitely don't have to be into it, you know, themselves to do it. You know, I think that's, you know, I think it's totally fine. And you know, sometimes it even, it works better because, you know, as a couple, we still each need those individual things that are just ours. You know, it's kind of where we kind of find that me time and that grounding time. And so it's a, that little separation is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Who pays on a date, you or her?
Me.
Me, absolutely.
Oh, good. Yeah. Thank God. I would be so turned off by God. I would be so turned off if I went out on a date. I don't, you know, I don't know what the rules are now, but I, that would just turn me off. That would just turn me, not that I expected anybody to pay for me, because I would reciprocate in other ways. I would make dinner or buy little gifts or something. But a guy that would make you pay, that's just like loser.
Yeah, that, you know, some folks say, well, it depends on who's, it depends on who asks who out, you know, and then she says, you know, even if I'm the one who's getting asked out to dinner, I don't know, man. I grew up with old school parents, you know.
I like that.
It feels uncomfortable for me not paying. Is I'm like, you know, and again, like you said, if she's gonna make it up to me or something, do it in some other way. But I've got the dinner. Don't worry about that. Yeah.
Yeah, and the same goes for, I had a conversation with a lady friend about this, actually, where she asked me, should I be the one to ask the guy out? And I said, absolutely, under no uncertain terms, do not ask the guy out. Because the guy has to be the guy. He has to be the man. He has to go. I mean, I know we've had the feminist revolution and stuff, and I have nothing against it. You know, I'm just being diplomatic here. I'm just saying that there are still the sexual roles of the man and the woman, and the man is still expected to go and approach the woman. That's the idea. That's how, it's a natural form.
Yeah.
So in this case, the man is, you know, demonstrating he's the provider. He can do this. He can, you know, so that he goes and he pays for it.
Right.
And I think that's really should be the way it goes. Obviously today we've got, you know, there are new differences going on, and in my opinion, I'm more of the traditional type because I like being the man. I like feeling like the man. And in order for me to be the man, I got to, you know, pay for it.
Yeah. You know, I agree. There's a dating ecosystem. And in that system, the guys, we're the hunter-gatherers, okay? We're out and we're tracking it and we're hunting it down and we see what we want and we're kind of going for it. So, yeah, guy likes to be the one to make the move and do the asking out. And here's what I tell ladies, okay? We know that you guys are every bit and in some, a lot of cases, more so successful than we are, and you can pay for our dinner. Hell, you could probably pay for everybody's dinner in the restaurant if you wanted to, but, so don't feel like it's a slight or, you know, we're not trying to slight you or, you know, or make light of what you're bringing to the table financially by offering to pay. It's, you know, it's a guy trying to do the right thing is what it is. So don't, you know, don't make it more of an issue than it really is.
Yeah.
Well, great advice. Well, one of our listeners just instant messaged us, Brenda, and she's very distraught wanting to know, if he doesn't talk about your relationship status, is he into you or not?
What do you mean by talk about your relationship status?
To friends.
Facebook status?
Or even out in public, if he doesn't bring anything up about, oh, this is my girlfriend, or this is my date.
Oh. That's tricky. You know, that could be... maybe they're not that far along in the relationship. Yeah, I would need a little more information before I can give her an intelligent answer. It depends on how far along they are in that relationship, okay, and it depends on what she's feeling slighted. Is he not introducing her as his girlfriend when they meet others? Is she not meeting anybody, or is he not in their one-on-one conversations that he's not making mention of, okay, we're dating, or, you know, kind of giving her a stage of where we are, you know, because one thing is very different from another thing. If he's doing this, you know, purposely, then, you know, he may or may not be that into her, or maybe just, you know, it just kind of is more of a casual thing. But if not, then it's a totally different answer. So kind of, I need a little more information there on that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see if she pops back up again.
Okay. what do you think of a girl, if you're in a bar or restaurant or at a sporting event or anything, a girl that comes up and starts talking to you, kind of like subtly tries to pick you up, like makes the first move, like maybe you're making eye contact across some, so, and the girl comes approaches you. Is that like a turnoff, or does that get back to the same thing where you don't feel manly? Or
look, if she's hot, I don't care. I'll just be honest with you, okay?
I agree.
What do you say, David? You with me on that?
I am completely with you on that one.
Okay,
I'm always
enough.
Open to someone being friendly, so I'm always friendly back. And then, you know, it's all body language, too.
Mm-hmm.
So if I see that she's more receptive, it's a conversation. And like I said before in the previous show, one of the things I used to like to do is go into a bar and then put on headphones and then just watch people. And you can see all the body language communication going on. So it's how her body language is. So
mm-hmm.
if she comes up and says, hi, how are you? Hello, how are you back? I'm courteous. You know, I'll be a little bit courteous there.
Absolutely.
And then open up the conversation from there. I'll tease a bit. Maybe she teases a bit. And if the chemistry is right, everything goes right, then great night.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, you know, it's one of those things. I'm never going to be rude. And so I'm always open to, you know, to a pleasant, great conversation and meeting somebody new. You know, whether I'm physically attracted to what I'm looking at, what I'm seeing, well, that's a whole other thing. But yeah, I think it's totally fine. And you know, a lot of guys, myself included, we find it very refreshing because now that shows that she's confident, and you know, confidence in a woman is a humongous turn on for guys.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
All right,
just
guys.
I just want to throw in that just don't be one of those guys. I have a friend who tried to do this once where he'll say, the woman's got to cross my path 10 times or look at me 20 times in a night before I make a move. And that's when I do one of those palm slaps to my face and I just think, will you just go and say hello?
right.
Oh my
just
God,
go
it
do
like
it.
High school.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Just say hi.
You know, you hit it right on the head. The confidence is everything. You know, men are admitting, you know, you like a confident woman, and we feel the same about our men.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I tell guys all the time, you know, guys are like, yeah, you know, same kind of deal. Yeah, I need to know. I need to be sure she's not going to turn me down. I was like, listen, dude, here's the situation, okay? If a woman
There's
likes
no guarantee.
If she's slightly remotely interested in you, all she needs is an excuse to talk to you. All you've got to do is walk up and say hi. That's it. Nothing else. And
yeah,
she will,
exactly.
She will take it from there. Trust me, she's got it, okay?
And in relationships that are there for a while, I tell you what, everyone, I learned some great advice. And of all people, it was from my father. He said, always stay interested in your relationship and stay interesting for that person.
Mm-hmm.
That is great advice.
Yeah, I thought that was great. All right, so we have another message. They would like to know, why do guys cheat instead of just leaving the relationship?
Oh, boy.
Ooh,
that's a tough one.
That's a toughie.
Yeah,
and, you know, guys cheat for many different reasons, okay? And a lot of women think, well, it's just the sex. And, you know, a lot of guys who cheat, they'll say, well, you know, it wasn't necessarily just, it wasn't a sex thing. It was more of a, I just really didn't feel wanted or desired in my relationship, and I wanted somebody showed me that attention, and I liked it, and I liked the way it felt, and I hadn't felt it in a while. And so, you know, women forget guys have feelings, too, and our egos get bruised, too. We don't like the rejection and all that. And so a lot of it's, you know, that guy trying to get that old feeling back, trying to, you know he's still got it, he's desired, he's wanted. You know, it sounds weird for guys to talk like that, but, you know, that's a big part of it. Now, you know, the other truth is sometimes it is just sex, and that is why you cheat and not leave the relationship, because you have no intention of moving on with the person you're cheating with. It's just a physical need, like hunger, like sleep. It's a physical thing. We separate it from the emotional. We meet that physical need, put that back on the shelf in the closet when we're done, and now we're back to our relationship. And so, it depends on the reason why, but you know, a lot of it's not just for the physical side of it.
It's nothing against, well, it depends on the situation, but I'm just saying, I'm not judging it, because I know from myself, there are people who say they could never cheat, right? And I would tell that person, you're not being honest, because you don't know what situation you'll be in, where you'll feel the emotional deficiency or the physical deficiency where you need to get that. And that's the thing, most people have not been in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the human reaction. is they're going to do something. So that's why it's kind of like a car. You got to maintain your car. Otherwise, someone else is going to come along, maintain it for you, and then, next thing you know, they drove it right across your lawn. They're gone. This is
David. That's a big part. I think every person out there is capable of it, just like David said, for sure. But the reasons, you know, guys have many reasons. You know, maybe it's that biological thing. Maybe it's a maturity issue. Maybe it's, you know, when he's in the midst of a crisis, an identity crisis or a midlife crisis, trying to refind himself, that kind of thing. Again, maybe it's just the sex. Or, you know, a lot of guys cheat because they do want out of the relationship. They didn't want to have that tough conversation, so I'll make a mess over here, and then she'll just break up with me, and I'll be done.
That's where communication is so key.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to be absolutely honest and just not be worried that he or she is going to rip you apart. Just
You
have to have that confidence, say, you know what, this is what's going on.
Right. And, you know, and a lot of times, like David said, you have that conversation, you're worried about getting ripped to shreds, but a lot of times, guess what? She's a woman. She's smart. She's more intuitive than you are. She already knows. And it's almost like a weight off of both people's shoulders when the folks are like, okay, yeah, right. You know what? You're right, and I've seen it for a while. And then you can have an adult conversation about it.
Yeah.
Well, Lisa, we have time for one more.
What do you think of sexting? If a girl sends you a picture of her boobies that you're dating, is that a turn on or turn off? Now, it's not like if you have a relationship, that's different. Say you just like had a couple dates and she feels like, you know, being flirtatious and she sends you a picture. What would you? Would that be a turn on or a turn off?
For me, that's a turn on. I don't know about you, Doc.
Listen, I'm right there with you, man. I'm in the boat. We're paddling in the same direction. Bring it on.
Yeah, just don't pull an Anthony Weiner and send it out to all your friends. That's
right,
all
exactly. Exactly.
That's
yeah.
all we're asking.
Oh, yeah. Well, because you know, it's playful, it's fun, it's flirty, it's a confidence thing. And so, yeah, I think it's good. You know, obviously you want to be able to trust the guy that he's not going to blast it out to his everybody on Facebook, you know, that kind of thing. But I think I think in that capacity, it's a great thing. It's definitely a turn on for me.
Well, great questions tonight. Lisa, wasn't this fabulous?
Yep. We're going to do this again, guys. You guys are fun.
Oh, no problem. That's great. I love it.
Well, we think you're fabulous, and our listeners love, you know, your answers. Our boards light up all the time, and we get a lot of thank yous from our female audience.
Nice.
So here's a giant you're welcome to all of them.
Absolutely.
Oh, good.
Absolutely.
Well, we can't wait to have you join us again. Would please come back soon to join us on Chit Chat Cafe Live.
No problem. Thanks
sure.
for having me, guys.
No problem.
Good stuff, David.
Thank you. Yep, so nice talking to you.
All right, guys, thanks.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, and we're also going to have to include Anthony Chiesa the next time, Lisa.
Yep, hopefully you didn't have too big of an issue. You know, when you're flying around $50,000 an hour jet planes, you have
right.
issues.
So, Anthony, you were missed tonight, and we will have you join us again soon. We're thanking our fabulous sponsors tonight, St. Croix Orthopedics, Intimacy Bras, and Laura Geller Makeup. If you would like to sponsor or advertise on our Chit Chat Cafe Live show, please contact us, chitchatcafelive@yahoo.com. Remember to listen to the Corey King Show, and we're thanking our producer, Corey King. He's live every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. On Artist First.
And we'd like to thank our guests tonight, Dr. Jen Hartstein, Dr. Ish Major, and David Noam. I'm reminding everyone to listen to our archives. Just go to our website, click on the date of the show that you'd like to listen to. We've had plenty of cool guests.
Yes.
Click on the date, and you can listen while you're working on, you know, if you're doing some work or playing on Facebook or Twittering or whatever, you can listen to one of our past shows. So that's a wrap for tonight, guys. Good night. Good night, everybody. Good night, Nancy.
Good night. So much fun, Lisa.
Bye.